This is February the 18th, 2018. A beautiful day here, and we hope that we can make it a more beautiful day for you, wherever you are, whatever your desires and needs are. As always, I like to warm our room up, warm our community up by inviting participants to speak. You are the reason for this call. And it's those who have arrived that Yeshua has called. So I want to take a caller. Jerome, I see that you're on the call. Hello.
Hello. Jerome.
Hi. It's so nice to hear your lovely chuckle.
Well, listen, and we're getting snow up here in northern Minnesota.
Yes, you are.
But love and blessings to you down there. Two names. One is Andrew. And,
okay.
And the other is Tom. And Andrew's going through some life changes. Tom just had surgery last week on his hip. So.
Okay.
But love and blessings with everything you're doing and everything you are, and to the higher spirit of Yeshua, who's always with us. Thank you.
Oh, yes. And blessings to you, too, Jerome.
Okay. I
always remember you in my prayers.
Thank you
for speaking up. You add a lovely, melodious tone to our call.
Well, you do, too. And I just keep up all the good work. We love you, and I'll keep...
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, we have a caller. We have two callers from area code 413. I'll take the first one first. That is from telephone number 441. Hi, you're on.
Hi, Glenda. This is Sarah from Santa Cruz.
Hello, Sarah.
Hi. So I really need some blessings, some help today. I'm experiencing a lot of pain and actually some bleeding, and I may be losing this baby now, actually right now. And
I'm so sorry to hear that. Oh, special blessings, yes.
Thank you. Her name is Rosemary Faith, and blessings for whatever the outcome. Thank you, Glenda.
Oh, God bless you. God bless you both. You and Rosemary. Babies are always in his arms. So thank you for asking us and letting us be in your heart with you. So we have another caller from area code 413. You are on.
Yeah, hi, Glenda. Thank you. This is Joni. And first I want to thank you, as everybody I'm sure does, for all your words written and spoken and your magnificent artwork. And it certainly had a big impact in my life, and I'm just so grateful that I was connected to you.
The feeling is mutual.
Well, thank you. And I did want to ask for some blessings. I have a friend, Celeste, who has a fractured kneecap as a result of a fall, and that's hugely painful, obviously.
Oh, yes.
And my sister Janice has just gotten through a horrible bout with the flu and now has a seized-up lower back and a lot of pain there as a result of all the coughing. So it's kind of ongoing. And
yeah.
I might ask for some blessing for myself. I trust that Yeshua knows and is well aware of a particularly tricky work situation I'm in, because I've certainly talked his ears off about it.
You sound like me.
Yeah, I always have this feeling they go, oh, no, it's her again. So some blessings around that very special intention. And
okay.
Thank you so much.
Sure will. And we'll take it to a higher level. Sometimes that's all that matters, because when we pray from our problem, the sticky thing is it's kind of like punching into a wall of mud.
Yeah.
we get our hand out, but with a little mud on it.
Yes.
And it's very hard to find that place above the problem without saying, okay, to have the problem. We don't want to have it, but we want to be above it.
Right.
And that's our constant human dilemma. But there is a part of you that is always above it. And that's what we help you find in the blessing. So just hang on and receive his love, and we'll see how high we can help you fly today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. And we have someone from area code 903. I think this may be Stormy.
Yes, it's Stormy, Glenda.
Hi.
I'm remembering I played some of my live keyboard music for a small church, and the entire congregation said they experienced the peace that passes all understanding. And I just wanted you to remember that I bring this to the blessings. I bring this to the world every day.
Thank you, Stormy, so much. So much. And most especially, you do it through music. But I want to thank anyone else who does it through other means, because locating that human vibration, that human song, if you will, that is above stress, above conflict, above problems, is where we actually connect to the answer. The answer is never, ever, ever the opposite to the problem. That's what we think. We think, okay, the answer to not having enough money in the bank is to have enough money in the bank. That's not the answer. It could temporarily be an answer, but once we have consented to that dynamic of polarity, the polarity will inevitably reverse. So the answer is having an approach to life where money in the bank is irrelevant. And that answer could come through faith. It could come through a change of occupation. It could come through settling debts that continuously haunt us. It could come through the development of such goodwill that there's always a way. It could come through having such a powerful prayer life that we know that our every need is provided for by God. There are a lot of answers that lie above the problem. But the answer is never the opposite to the problem. It just isn't. And this is one of the ironic the ironies, I should say, of affirmation. Because so many times we use affirmation, even something as simple as, every day I am better in every way. Well, it implies in a subtle way that today you're not so good. And that affirmation has a built-in reversal to it if you don't say that affirmation every day. Now, there are affirmations that work, such as, thank you, God, for this beautiful day. That's affirming this beautiful day, and there's nothing else attached to it. I hope you all see that subtle difference, but very important difference. And we have been discussing in depth in our webinar the words in our Lord's Prayer. And we're discovering that in its original translation, there were no implied opposites. Those implied opposites were developed over 2,000 years of the church needing to give encouragement to the poor, encouragement to the sick, encouragement to the homeless, encouragement to children, to elderly, to those who were worried about this, that, or something else in life. And they built the prayer into containing some implied opposites that were never there in the beginning. It was the purest affirmation ever spoken, ever written. And this is what we're learning to see. And there is that place in your life where you can affirm the peace that comes from being a child of God, simply loved by your Father. And when we go to that place, we have an easier time of everything. And Stormy, thank you for the work you do. I'm going to take a call now from area code 828, and you're on.
Hi, Glenda. This is David and still in Albuquerque. I want, you know, on that money thing, what occurred to me is I had this mental belief that I'm okay with money, and if I play the lottery and win, that's all great. But when I played it one day and I got 4 out of the 6 numbers, I went into sheer terror that, what does this mean? And I realized I really didn't want that abundance. So there was a part of me not ready to receive it. And I noticed that there was abundance, prosperity in other areas of my life. And I knew it's not about abundance and prosperity. And when I really sat with it, this is about freedom. So I started meditating on freedom. And, you know, that's been my approach to it, is not about trying to shoehorn abundance into a space where I already had abundance.
That is a very enlightened step upward, David. Thank you for sharing that. Because often we don't get the answer we're looking for until we state the question accurately. We don't get the need supplied until we understand what it truly is, what it truly is we want, and what we're truly lacking. God sees our needs. God sees our heart. God sees what we really, really want. And maybe the answer isn't money. Now, God doesn't want any of us to be hurting, in pain, to be poor or without faith or hope about our sustenance. But sometimes he allows us to have whatever problem we're sitting in until we can redefine it as to the real problem that needs to be answered. Because we have to struggle so often with our mind. Yes, we struggle with our mind because our mind is built of opposites. And our mind is filled with guilt. Our mind is filled with self-abnegation. Our mind is filled with blame. It's filled with unknowns it wants to solve. And as long as we're working from that mental construct that always has opposites, there really are no answers. This is what Job had to go through in his long struggle of suffering that the Lord would simply not relieve him from. The Lord just looked at him and let him suffer and let him have everything until finally Job got it. He got it. And what Job got may not be what you get. You see, just like David has realized, what he really wanted was freedom. What you get as your real answers may not be that. It may be something else. But what Job really wanted was understanding. That's all he wanted. He wanted to understand God. And he first had to admit that the power, the grace, the magnificence, the grandeur of God was too great to understand except as a process. And he prayed to be understood. And as he prayed for understanding, God gave him everything. Because it's like that little trip door. When you get the right question, you get the right answer. And so, you know, it's really hard to think when you've, well, like I can tell you, I've been through this with very advanced arthritis and terrible pain in your hip. It's hard to think that you would need anything other than a hip replacement or some other advanced procedure. But what I discovered in my last days before I got my first hip replacement is what I really needed were blessings from Christ. And they came. And from those blessings that came, we developed, he and I, the blessings we give every Sunday. And my hip replacement went perfectly in half the recovery time with total and complete healing that has never even been so much as a limp. I could be athletic with my new hip. So it was never about my hip. What I wanted was to understand all the levels of blessing that were available to me. One of them being medical. One of them being surgical. Another being therapeutic. Another being recovery. But most of all, spiritual. All the levels of blessing that I needed to take the work I have committed my life to up to a higher level. And when I ask finally for a blessing, everything else happened. The right doctor. I was told because she was in so much demand, I would be lucky to see her within a year. I got to see her in a week. I was told that because she was so booked, I would be lucky to have a procedure within 6 months. She set up a procedure within 2 weeks. And that's the way it went. Because I finally asked for the right thing. Now, where is the place we go to ask for the right thing? We've got to go above the problem. The problem will almost always ask for a material solution that in most cases is the exact opposite of the problem. And that doesn't mean we don't need a place to live or money in the bank or recovery from an illness. That could still be part of it. But it's like these blessings have to filter down from higher places and flood our life with more than one option. There's something about us as human beings that we just don't like having only one option. I think this is one of the problems that so many couples run into after they're married. And they struggle with fidelity. Even if they're faithful and they're always true to their mate, they may be resenting the fact that every morning I see the same face, every night I see the same face, every day I do the same thing, and life has become so predictable and so boring. I know if you're married, you've done that, you've been there at least 5 minutes in the course of your marriage. What's the option? Well, it's not having another romantic partner. The answer is broadening your life to where your life has more options. you don't have just one thing. As human beings, we don't like that just one thing. That's a built-in part of something incredibly beautiful and wondrous about us. We were created in the image of God. Okay, how many things does God have in any one day? How many options does God have? How many freedoms does God have? How many things can God create? How many poems can God create? How many forms of music can God love? How many dances can he or she dance in a day? You see, we have to go up to the mountain, the top of the mountain. Let me just describe it to you. When you're down in the valley, which could be down in the dumps, or down into where you're focusing only on one trouble. It might be a big trouble. It might be a heartbreaking trouble. But that's what you're focused on. It's one thing. But if you could just put that one thing in a sacred little pouch on your back and climb up 10 steps on the mountain and you look down, you can see a few more things. And you look down. And you rise up another 20 steps. And you look down. And you see more things. And you go up a little higher. And you see more. And you go up to the top of the mountain. And you not only see the whole valley, but you see another mountain range. Remember, the Ten Commandments were given to Moses when he was on the mountaintop. And the tribe of Israel was down on the desert floor, not behaving in a very admirable way. And the reason they were not is because they were focused on their problems. And they were practicing everything from worship of calves to magic to, just downright misbehavior, because they couldn't figure out how to solve their problems. They were one-on-one with their problems. You know, when you're one-on-one with something, you don't see the bigger picture. Moses went to the top of the mountain. So many times, Yeshua would leave the throngs of people that would surround him and go to the high desert just to pray and meditate, to create space. The Son of God needed space on this earth. And if he needed space, what about you and I? The night before his arrest, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he broke away from the apostles. And interestingly, they fell asleep. I guess they needed space in their own way. He needed space and he prayed. He went up to the high places of heaven, joined with the will of God and said, Father, thy will be done. This is what we do every night when we sleep. We go into the high places of our consciousness where we can drop away the troubles, the anguishes, and the perils of life. We wake up in the morning with a new perspective. So this is what happens when we offer you a blessing. We take you to the higher places where there's always more than one way. There's the highway, and the highway filters down to the next level and the next level and the next level, where it shall all be done. But perhaps in a revised order of priority. I was really, really hungry, but I had nothing to eat in the house. And it's not because I'm poor, it's because I've been too busy to shop. I mean, I really let the cupboard get bare and the refrigerator get empty, and I had nothing. And I thought, well, I'm just going to have a drink of water. So I had a drink of water. And I thought, I'm going to pray. And I prayed. And during my prayer, I fell asleep. And when I woke up, I wasn't hungry at all. Wasn't hungry for anything. And I had a whole new level of energy. So what happened is that my priorities became revised. And with my whole new level of energy, I went out and I grocery shopped and I got the things I needed to make dinner later that night. But not because I was hungry for food. Because my hunger for life was satisfied. And this is the problem we encounter when we anguish too much over a particular trouble, a particular situation, a particular friend, is that we think there's only one way. And if that one way doesn't work, it's all lost. It's all over. It can't possibly happen again. It can't possibly happen another way, but it can. There are so many miracles in God's golden basket. And sometimes the miracles need to wait. They need to wait so that we have the right receivership for them. Receiving is a really big deal with God. He needs to know you're ready to receive. He has, not only does he have everything to give, he's actually already given everything. It's we that haven't found it. We're like kids on an Easter egg hunt. And we have the basket on our arm, and we're just going merrily along our way, and sometimes along the way we stumble on a rock and we bruise our knee and we cry, or somebody else finds the egg before we do, and we say, that was supposed to be my egg. You found it. You ran off. You dirty, rotten so-and-so. We behave like ugly little kids. But the fact is, we weren't ready to receive. God knows when we're ready to receive, and he takes the veil off our eyes, and right in front of our eyes, there's the egg, and it's shining brightly. And we reach down and we pick it up and we put it in our basket. It's always been there. And the silly thing is, we go out looking for one egg at a time. And God has 100 eggs waiting for us. That's what Job discovered. Once he took the blindfold off his eyes, once he discovered what he really wanted, he didn't just get his life returned to him. He got his life returned to him twofold. Everything doubled. And not just that, he was able to give to his friends and to his community and to his family. His level, his capacity for generosity was multiplied. So this is why after your blessing is given, it's so important that you just go and rest and let yourself receive. And I always tell you, don't think. There's a reason for that. Because your mind is not a receiving instrument. Your mind is a figuring it out instrument. Your mind is a let's get doing instrument. Your mind is a problem solving instrument, which implies there's a problem. Okay? When you've just received a blessing from God, and all you need to do is receive it, you don't want to think about there's a problem. So let your mind just go to sleep. Send it on a camping expedition. Put it somewhere where it can go solve a problem for somebody else, but not for you. Just let your life be at peace, as Stormy would say, and listen to his music if you could. In your heart of hearts, listen to Stormy's peaceful music. Let it play through your soul or whatever else you associate with peace. If you associate being on a high mountain, be there. If you associate being by a riverbank, be there. If you associate being with the ocean, be there. Whatever you associate with peace, be there. And if you fall asleep, that's okay too. Just be there. Now it's time that we offered a blessing to you. And I would ask that you be seated. Remember, send your mind on vacation. Just let it go play if it can. Or be still and be somewhere else. Let your head just relax and fall into a natural pose of prayer, facing toward your heart, and your attention be in your heart. Let your worries be a thing of the past that you may attend to later, but not at this moment. At this moment, it's just you and God in your heart receiving. And the blessing givers will stand with me. I will say a prayer to Yeshua. And then while the blessing givers and I conduct the energy of the Holy Spirit, you will pray your prayer, and your prayer will be heard. Dear Yeshua, my prayer is short today because it's simply, thank you for all that you are, for all that you are for us, for all you do for us, and for reminding us that we too are children of God, that we are brothers and sisters to you, and we are not small. Only our problems make us think we are small. I ask that you help us find our largeness in this blessing today. And we ask that we may offer our largeness to the world, that those who are alone may no longer be lonely, that we may offer our life to those who need. We ask that you be with the sick and the lost and the sad and those in pain, that they may be comforted. And we know that you are there already doing the very things we pray for, because it is in our faith that we pray. Amen. Amen. Your blessing is complete now. And it's for you to go and finish receiving. I look forward to being with you again next week. You're very loved. God bless you. Many blessings to you. And bye-bye for now.